As I was saying, yeah. I am 5 hours ahead of you. That's how we work it out. So as we record, it's 8:15 here. So what time is it over there?
Three quarters.
Three. The time over there, sponsored by Accurist, is 3/4. I didn't realize that the East Coast not only was on a different time zone, it had entirely different measurements of time. We're on totally different units. I wish I was on your unit. So anyway, Jonathan, 5 hours ahead. Speaking of which, y'all do not want to know what happens at 7 p.m. I mean, you're gonna, but having been there, like 3 quarters ago, strap yourselves in, lads.
Because you're in the future. I just figured it out.
I am the future.
Behold.
This 40-year-old has-been is the future.
It would not be the first time a has-been became the future. We did elect Donald Trump.
That is true.
Yeah, Biden was done too, we thought.
Yes, yeah, true.
The joke candidates, these two guys. I laughed.
And I'm back in a country where I was born, so I couldn't run. I'm trans. What the fuck? But
you never know. I would vote for you, as you know. So that's one vote.
You can't vote there.
That's true. Yeah, Jonathan, you can't vote
what
there.
If I
unless
tried?
You marry me. Do you want to marry me or not? To vote for me for the prime minister job that I won't get a look in for.
That's the way. If you marry them, all of them, then they'll all vote for you. You just have to sleep your way to the top. Why wouldn't it work? I want you to win.
I tell you why it wouldn't work. It's because in order for that to work, I would first have to become prime minister to change bigamy laws.
Oh, I forgot about them.
And then I can marry as many people as I like. So that would only work for re-election.
Right, which is sort of what Trump is doing, except instead of making the law better, because I think it should be legal to we're all grown-ups. If you're grown-up, you want to marry two people? Well, yeah, definitely.
Well, but that's the problem. The party that he's the head of wants to make it legal to marry the children.
Oh.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Bit of a conflict.
It's not great, is it?
No, that's not great. There should be some laws, I think. I'm not a total anarchist. I think.
Well, neither
totally
are they.
Oh, Jonathan, build a castle.
It's so hard. So much stone.
Well, then you better get started. Chop, chop, chibi, chibi. Build a castle. I think, Jonathan, that Boston would be a better place if it had a keep or a stronghold. At a push, a Bastille, but I'm hoping for a keep.
I think they do have them, because they're old. It's old. It's as close to England as you get. It's New England here in Boston. And they
aren't we fancy. New England.
No!
New England.
It's worse, I bet. I don't know. I haven't been to England in a while. I was there a while ago.
I mean, it's a pretty New England. It's 5 hours younger than this one.
True. That's right. So we're always newer. We are always a little younger.
Yeah. Boston to England is the hat to the man that keeps trying to pick up his hat in the live-action Popeye film. He keeps kicking it, you see, Jonathan. He bends down to pick it up, the hat, right? But he's still walking, and he kicks it, the cunt.
Yeah, it's very cute. We all relate. So yeah. Everyone relates with Boston, is what you're saying.
It's and I think most, if you became the Baron of the Boston Stronghold, I reckon something, Jonathan, something, that is something. Something. You could sit on a big chair and have feasts, suckling pig. I have found 3 pigs, Jonathan, that you know. They're all grown up, and they're ripe for the slaughter.
You found them? You found the old road rules piglets?
I found the 3 piglets that you looked after on an episode of that show you were on, Television's The Road Rules.
Television's.
Famously, on this podcast, you looked after a shoebox with three piglets in it in a hotel. This is what MTV used to put on TV in the 90s, right? It was only marginally better than what they put on now.
I thought it was at least more original. It had never been done before, yeah. This stuff. It was somewhat groundbreaking.
Well, you say it was groundbreaking.
At least somewhat.
So were the pigs.
Oh.
If we remove the word breaking.
They were ground pigs?
They are now.
Like dead? It was a while ago. I don't know how long pigs live. I hope they live to be 80 years old, but if they live the same age as like cats and dogs, those pigs might not be with us. You know?
Well, they've got about 5 days on their sell-by date, so get eating.
No, a pig will live 12 to 18 years, sometimes more than 20. So
yeah, these ones didn't.
Jonathan, Steph has the news that we need to listen to. They are confirmed dead.
I'm only joking.
Oh, they're alive?
I didn't kill your pigs.
Oh, thank you.
Your dogs, on the other hand.
My dogs?
Yeah. Did you ever look after dogs on road rolls or not?
Oh, that's a great question. We sometimes... some of the stuff that never got on the air is when locals, down on their luck locals, would just wander up to the Winnebago and be like, got any scraps? And we'd be like, yeah, come on in. And just...
Then you'd force them to watch you masturbate.
Number one, I never want anyone to see anything sexual with me, ever. Never. Two, they wanted scraps. That's not what that means. They don't... even if they ask...
I know, that's what they were saying.
They were saying to me, I don't want to see you masturbate, and I did it anyway, like,
yeah.
Louis C.K. style.
You were like, watch me.
Watch me.
Yeah, watch me. Special scraps. Anyway, Jonathan,
yeah.
I hear you talking. I do not hear you bringing rocks up from the quarry on your back to build a cape in the style of the old medieval villagers.
I mean, how does one even do that? You need cement? You need some fixing agent? A glue?
Oh, God, that sounds like hard work, Jonathan. Get some cereal boxes. Get some cornflakes boxes and regular-type glue, like a Pritt stick or something. Then just start gluing. Just make four... big walls, right? And the best thing is, Jonathan, right, is the very top of these walls, right, you get individual cornflakes boxes, you put them on top, right, you space them out a foot apart, and then you've got the ramparts.
Oh, wow.
So don't, I know you were worried about the ramparts with this idea, so don't worry. Once we get the cornflakes boxes, we get your clothes off, we get the glue, we get the ramparts, you've got to keep.
You know, the I think it's the whole national anthem of the United States talks about ramparts, sings about ramparts, I should say, because of the revolution that occurred here against old England, your team, and New England, my team. And on the ramparts we watched... as the gallantly streaming or something. So I know.
Oh, there'll be some gallant streaming in the castle.
And there that is? Song, that song's not about the revolution. It's about the War of 1812.
Oh, War of 1812,
Jonathan. Shows what you know. Well, you'll be shoving a lot more.
Look, I only know that because they ran a ship into a bridge named after the guy who wrote it like a month ago.
Oh, and down where you are in Philadelphia?
Well, no, in Baltimore.
You're in Baltimore?
No, I'm not in Baltimore.
Where are you?
In Baltimore, for fuck's sake, Jonathan.
I don't know anything.
The Francis Scott Key Bridge got hit by a boat.
Oh, that's right. Francis Scott Key wrote that song about the bombs bursting in air. What a country, as Yakov Smirnoff once said. But he was talking about Russia. We need an American Yakov Smirnoff.
Was he talking about Russia?
Who knows?
What is this conversation?
I think he was talking about Russia, but not, you're right, when he said, what a country! He was talking about the United States. You're right, so he needs to come back. Talk about this country that needs humor. We need fuck to...
So. Oh, no, no. I'll tell you what needs humor, whoa. Jonathan.
Okay.
This oh. podcast, right? I had a whole bit planned about capes, right?
Yeah.
We've been so derailed, there's no point. I had a whole thing planned, and because I know you better than you know yourself, Jonathan,
yeah.
I knew exactly what you were going to say. I had bits planned for it, because I was going to say, once we've put the ramparts in, we go in that castle and we, hey, you know, ram your parts. And then you would be like, what, you're going to bash my genitals? And then I'd be like, well, we've got to joust with something. And that would have been great. I was going to be a fool. I was going to wear a jester hat, but there was going to be cum in the hat, Jonathan. And I would squeeze those pointy bits that you get on the jester hat, and it would ooze out onto your head like I was piping some icing onto a beautiful beige cake. And we can't do that anymore, Jonathan, because we got so derailed because you were getting your wars wrong that this podcast is now less funny than at least three of the Police Academy films, and we are in dire straits.
Wow.
Actually, I wish I was. There was talent in that band.
The Police? That was a band.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Where did the Police come from?
I thought the Police
Get Academy on was... your game! Jonathan!
I'm really tired. I don't sleep much these days. It's different days for me. Times are always changing.
Anyway, tell us about the War of 1312 that you're such an expert in.
I think it was 1812, and I know nothing about it. I thought there was only three wars.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Well, then, you're going to make a really shit historian. Mate, the History Channel's going to be so pissed when you turn up for that audition.
But no, hang on, though. I think you might be onto something. Jonathan Holmes, shit historian.
Ooh. Oh, fuck. Yeah, you just go on TV, and we just let you talk, because... when you talk with authority on matters of history, as you've demonstrated, you'll fucking piss so many people off, Jonathan. It'll be very viewed, that show.
Hate views are a big deal these days.
Hate views are a massive deal.
Yeah, it's weird.
If you went on TV and you said you have it on good authority that George Washington was gay... And then we do a historical recreation, of course. You know, you dressed up as George Washington.
Powdered wig, be a good look on you.
Me as King George being ploughed. That's why they called him the Farmer King.
They did?
With Alexander Zimmerman in the corner, wanking.
You know, recently my 8-year-old son has been saying stuff like, why don't you call that guy George Washington? Hey, George. And I'm like, there's no detectable joke in that. He's like, sure, George, whatever you say. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. So he would be on board with this. He doesn't know about sexual preferences. He thinks everyone, like, he doesn't know about sex and stuff yet. But he thinks that kissing... like, boys should kiss boys, girls should kiss girls. What's everyone so uptight about? Like, he's already kind of fighting for gay rights, I guess.
It's a pretty reasonable point of view.
He's very reasonable. I'm very proud to have him as a son. So if he saw this rogering, this sexual ramming,
this historical recreation.
Yeah, as long as there was no genitalia shown and all that stuff, it was purely PG, above board.
It was just to show what definitely happened.
Well, no.
That's how the war was won.
That's how the... we're not only
that's
saying...
why they signed the Treaty of In Your Damn Pants.
It was mistranslated by the elders as independence, but you're saying it was in...
it was in your damn... in your damn
in,
pants.
In your damn pants. In your damn...
I'm getting in your damn pants, mofo.
So it's not only, guess what, he was gay, but also his gayness is why we have the United States. Everyone, all the white nationalists, the Christian nationalists, the people that are nationalists in general that say the United States needs to stick with what the Founding Fathers represented. We do not progress from the initial Constitution and the people who wrote it. They would all have to become gay overnight. is what you're saying, I think.
Well, basically what I'm saying is on the pilot episode of Jonathan Holmes, shit historian, you go out there and you tell them that America is a nation founded on gay sex.
Right.
You stand that this is the first line of the show. It's the cold open. They don't even have a title sequence. You just say, hi, I'm Jonathan Holmes, and here's my address, which will flash up on screen. America is a nation...
Where I live.
Don't worry about it. America is a nation founded on gay sex. And then the titles play, obviously, after your phone number flashes on screen. And then we're off to the races. Or off to the racists, because, of course, that is what you're going to call every president, especially Obama.
Wow. I call them, I go through the list of, I think,
you
46
go through the list.
Of them? Yeah, 46.
You explain who they were, how long their presidency ran, what party they represented, how racist they were, which races they specifically hated, and rank them in order of loved to loathed, if you can collate that data. And I said that quite strangely then. Diata. And
oh,
yata.
It.
And obviously a list of every slur they used or that you like to imagine they used.
I mean, knowing the United States as I know it, they're only going to be able to go as far back as Clinton. Like, I know a lot of people now who don't know exactly when Reagan was president. It was like, was that the 1800s? Was that the 1900s? Like, they really are going to... It's just not good ratings to list every president, but we can do it.
But to accuse them of racism, and here's the best thing about doing that, Jonathan, because you can do it to the current president as well. Because here's the thing. In the UK, we have really strict libel laws. I just saw someone on Twitter today having to issue an apology to J.K. Rowling, which is what people do. They you know, point out facts about her, like repeat things she said. And then they get a letter from a lawyer that says, you're going to go in court for this. And let's face it, she's the fucking billionaire. Mm. So then people, and it's a lot of trans people as well. Like, and obviously, you know, she's a horrible turf. Mm. And they have to go cap in hand and apologize for speaking the truth. And the best thing about America in regards to that is it's not even libel. They are all racist. You can say it.
Yeah, I'm sure I could find some specific instances of racial bias and systemic racism empowered by
No, you're a shit
president.
Historian.
Yeah,
make
wait a
them
minute.
Up. Like, let's face it, the list of slurs for each president is mostly a list of words I'm just going to want to make you say.
I forgot, I'm using slurs against the presidents, or I'm using the slurs that they used, and therefore I am also using them. Like, I'm just saying...
Well, you'll definitely be using them. There's some dispute among historians, which is to say you versus historians, about which of these slurs they definitely said.
Me versus historians. And who's to be the judge? As to, I mean, if it's a debate.
It's not a debate. It's you. And I think because, you know, television's a visual medium. Because television's a visual medium, as you list the slurs, we won't do it as one unbroken take. We will film each slur separately so that we can change you into a different t-shirt with the slur written on it. So, you know, as you say divot humper, we can have divot humper written on your shirt.
That's a slur.
That's what I made up, because I can't say the ones that will be on your fucking shirt.
Yeah, I was afraid.
You'll
somebody...
be really hated.
No.
Because it ain't just going to be slurs for beige people.
Mm, yeah, I guess.
The ones you can get away with.
Well, I mean, they'd be against religious groups. They'd be against, you know, gender, I'd guess. They'd be against
all everything.
Yeah, everything.
I mean, obviously, we're focusing on race, but don't worry. Like, clearly you're concerned that you won't be able to tarnish other marginalized groups. Don't worry, we'll hit all the demos. That's what TV's about.
But it's, and I could be wrong about this, it seems like it's a lot of the white folks these days that are really concerned about people discriminating against them with diversity initiatives and whatnot. Like, I think a lot of marginalized groups would just, like, they wouldn't like it, but it would be sort of like ho-hum, sort of another day of people discriminating against them on some show.
I mean, I'll admit, I don't even, like, raise my head up if someone shouts tranny anymore. It's like, oh, okay. Like, it's just background noise.
Yeah. But the white, and I as someone who is not unwhite entirely, I think I can speak for us whites when I say they're not as used
Jonathan,
to it.
Jonathan, you speak for all.
I speak for who?
You speak for everyone. All races, all genders, all creeds. Except Apollo Creed. He's his own man.
I wish I knew Carl Weathers while he was still with us. He passed recently.
Jonathan.
Apollo Creed. But now there's a new Creed. Adonis Creed, I think his name is. Yes. Yes, Steph. I'm sorry.
I have a question.
Yeah?
We've been talking about the notion of offense.
Oh, sure.
What is offensive? What is offends?
Offense? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the middle of the night a few weeks ago, Jonathan, I was reading about a historical event that happened in Boston. And I want to know if it's tasteless, the idea I had.
Yeah?
Don't worry, it's not that. It's a different historical event. I just... basically, I don't know if the statute of limitations has lifted on a tragedy enough for me to start... for us to package you as Jonathan Holmes, a.k.a. Boston Molasses Flood 2, Freddy's Revenge. Can we do that? Or will it be seen as tasteless, unlike that delicious treacle?
You're doing it now. For people who don't know, there was, for some reason, you probably know more about it than me, Steph.
Oh, I extensively read up on this.
Yeah, it killed many people. It was it was not, like, incredibly fast moving, but it wasn't slow either. I can't remember the miles per hour. It was like 20 or something. And people were just like, that can't be that. That can't be a wall of molasses coming down the road.
Yeah, because it ain't moving as slow as molasses.
No, that's right. Because
it was going 20 miles an hour when, like, regular molasses only reaches 5.
Well, maybe they've been lying to us about how fast molasses moves all this time.
I can't speak to my molasses timings. I've never actually put up a speed reader. What do the police use?
You know, and I'm glad you're bringing this up, because I think you're right, Jonathan. Like, the only way science can work is if we actually see these things for ourselves, right?
That's true. We need to see it to believe it. That's why I think you should be Boston Molasses Flood 2, Freddy's Revenge.
I am the molasses.
We dress you up like the molasses flood. We cover you in Carmen squid ink, and you storm around the town menacing people with gloopy malice. How about that? You just sort of, just like flick your fingers at them, really, and just cover them in sticky black horror. Just going. I'm back.
Contact. I sound like.
I tell you what, Jonathan.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Reading about the original Boston molasses flood.
Yes.
Now look, I'm not saying it wasn't a tragedy. And I'm not saying if I were to go back in time and I had the opportunity to fix it, yes, I would fix it.
Oh, that's great.
Like, but doing so would cost humanity the greatest sentence that has ever been said.
What is that?
This was what was said of the molasses flood at the time. Everything that a Bostonian touched was sticky. That is the most beautiful sentence I have ever read. Everything a Bostonian touched was sticky.
Wow, yeah. It's short and sweet. Oh.
And everything that Bostonian, and I'm pointing at the microphone, which right now resembles you in that it's round. like your head.
Yeah,
your beautiful, sleek head, your aerodynamic, lickable head.
Wow.
It's going to be so lickable when it's covered in molasses. Oh, wait, no, we were going to use cum and squid ink. Oh, it's going to be extra lickable. Yeah, I figured you wouldn't like to be covered in horrible sticky molasses treacle, which is why I went with a heady cocktail of cum and squid ink.
Yeah, the squid ink is where the questions, there's questions abound, but where did that come from?
Have you never milked a squid?
No, I don't think squids like that. I don't even know how you get, you'd have to get it out of the water probably to do that. And they definitely don't like that much. They can attack. They've got beaks, those squids. Mm-hmm. You got to be careful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, what else milk. Do you know about squids?
I think that
on our new segment, Jonathan Holmes, shit marine biologist. Tell us everything you know about squids right now. This is a pilot for a show.
Wow, I'm on. This is go time. They have two eyes. They are the enemy of the octopus. They duel. Mm, they duel. I think the octopus, I believe, is smarter. So I should have said the squid is not as smart as the octopus, nor is it as flexible. So they aren't as good at fitting into any opening. My understanding is an octopus, as long as its beak can fit in, it can find a way to fit through. Everything else in octopus is totally optional. Why do I know so much about octopuses so much? But in terms of the actual...
I don't know. I mean, this is perfect for the show, though. Because for an episode of Jonathan Holmes' Shit Marine Biologist... to be about squid, you should definitely talk about octopi for most of it.
And there's all these kids around being like, I need to learn about the squid. My teacher said I've got this report due. And I'm like, let me tell you more about the octopus. He's big and fluffy.
That's it. Like kids, this will be like really educational for kids, right? We could do a whole series of kids shows on VHS for them. Jonathan Holmes, Shit Marine Biologist, that'll be one. Like that could be for the elementary sort of school age.
Yeah.
And you can be on camera. Like we'll make sure that the studio that we film in, the shed, is like super hot so that you're sweaty on camera at all times. As you tell them, you know, the squid exists. You know, which is good, I guess, for the squid. I'm kind of not bothered. Hi, by the way, I'm Jonathan Holmes, Shit Marine Biologist. They say that if an octopus can get its beak into something, it can get anywhere. Its body is optional. Which, again, I love that line you said, Jonathan. An octopus... Remember, kids, and put this down in your test papers. The octopus's body is optional.
What I meant to say is it can... take on any form, like the specific shape of the octopus's body, it can change to really anything. It squeeze itself in anything. Yeah. Doesn't care.
Oh, and don't worry, Jonathan. If you really do feel like you might look like a bit of a tit if we put you on TV and just told you to talk about sea creatures with authority, we will be giving you documentary research footage.
Oh.
As many episodes of Squiddly Diddly as you think you can sit down and watch in one go.
That's a show? Squiddly Diddly?
Yeah.
Wow, what is this?
One of the more obscure, I've just learned, because you didn't know it, Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Oh, no. So we're talking like post-Scooby-Doo?
No, it was around that sort of era of Jabberjaw and Grapeape. And it was all in that whole bracket of Hanna-Barbera cartoons that were mostly... plagiarizing comedians that had sitcoms.
Mm, mm-hmm.
How was what Hanna-Barbera did not plagiarism?
A parody, I guess. It was a tribute / parody to Curly from the Three Stooges.
You can just steal what you want so long as a cat's doing it instead of a person. So long as it's a cat and not Phil Silvers.
It was Phil Silvers, wasn't it?
Top Cat was Sergeant Bilko.
He was just straight up, but it wasn't voiced by Phil Silvers, the cat.
No, I don't think so.
Well, if it was, then I guess that's just him kind of reinventing himself. But if
or starring in a plagiarism of his own shit, which is either a bold move or a new low.
Yeah, it's true. And I just hope he was treated well on set.
I do hope that Top Cat's body actor showed him respect, yeah.
So Squiddly Diddly.
Squiddly Diddly.
Was he under the sea? Was he fighting crime?
I can't remember. I genuinely can't remember.
Was he purple?
I think he,
what was he?
I think he worked for a person. I'm looking it up.
Yeah. Let's find out together.
I did watch it. Like,
You sure you didn't
before
dream this?
School, there was... Fuck off. Before
school... old.
Before school, there was a... And you know what, school, that's about, like, what, 10 years ago? Before school, I would watch Squiddly Diddly. He was purple.
Yeah.
And he had, yeah, he's purple. He's got a sailor hat on. And he's wearing a sort of like a fuchsia shirt.
Yep.
In the image, he's on the beach playing a guitar and a saxophone and drums.
Because of his multiple limbs.
Because of his multiple limbs. That's something, again, like, this is why this kind of research is important for your marine biology show. Because now you know that a squid's tentacles allows it to essentially put on its own miniature Pink Floyd concert. Which, by the way, I need to have a go at you about.
What did I do? I'm so afraid. Did you find out I don't like Pink Floyd that much?
No.
And you're mad about it?
Okay. Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, I am now.
Jesus. Jonathan Holmes, I heard a nasty, pernicious rumor about you. That you once yelled, "Get on with it," at a Pink Floyd concert. They were 3/4 of the way through the intro to "Wish You Were Here," and you yelled, "Get on with it."
No, I wouldn't do that.
You put Roger Waters off his set.
I wouldn't do that.
His poor anti-Semitic fingers struggled with those guitar strings.
I was going to say, I vaguely remember him being a bad person as well. But I don't know.
Oh, he's always been a dickhead.
Is he?
Oh, no. Roger Waters, complete knob. But has apparently gotten worse. So, you know, just for the listeners, you want a bit of hope. Just, yes, people can sink lower in your estimation of them. So keep reaching for that rainbow.
I've gotten totally tied up in researching Top Cat. As we've been... talking, there's an actor, his name is Maurice Gosfeld, who was on the Phil Silvers show, but he wasn't Phil Silvers, and they cast him in Top Cat in order to, like, I think mock the fact that they were clearly stealing from Phil, because Phil did not play Top Cat. That was Arnold Stang, who looks like a turtle, who was in Hercules Goes Bananas, also known as Hercules Goes New York. The first Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. He plays the guy who's like, "Oh, Hork, what are you doing in here, Hork? Look at your muscles. Wow. Whoa. Wow, you're lifting up a beer, Hork. Whoa." He's great. Watch that movie tonight. Hercules Goes Bananas.
What is happening?
I don't sleep anymore. I sleep, 3 hours a night now for the past few weeks, so it's... I can't help myself. I'm not doing well. How are you?
Same old, you know.
That's good. You're like a rock, Conrad. So nice that you stick with us.
If you've just joined us, listeners, we've apparently decided to have the conversation we normally have before we record the podcast, halfway through the podcast.
You mean like the part that isn't good to listen to, that we don't record?
Yeah. So the new job and everything treating you well, though, Jonathan? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a great job. I just don't get any sleep anymore. But the job is good.
Yeah. Well, so long as, you know, because, obviously, I was a bit worried about you because you were going through some hard stuff. And I'm glad that you're back on. And, you know, I'm doing a lot better than when we last talked as well.
Oh, good.
Really out of that sort of, like, depressy phase and
oh, good.
Super productive.
I noticed, though, that Jonathan didn't ask you how you were doing.
No, rude bastards. Listeners, we're back on. So why are you so self-centered, Jonathan?
That's a great question.
I mean, for God's sake, you've got this podcast that's named after you. Well, one of your very arrogant titles, Jonathan. I just worry sometimes that ego of yours is running out of control, running wild to a degree not seen since Hulkamania.
I was also
by Hulk Hogan.
Feeling a Hulkamania reference coming on, and you got there. Thank you.
Don't worry. I've always got one in the chamber.
I actually, my oldest son was asking me about who the Ultimate Warrior was suddenly. He just looked at me and was like, who was the Ultimate Warrior, Dad?
It's the question for the ages.
He was the king of Destrucity. Destrucity! Oh, Hulk Hogan, I will look at you, and you will look at me, and I will ask you the question that you ask me. Do you want your ideas, your beliefs, to live forever?
Wow, that was incredible. I've never heard your Ultimate Warrior impersonation. I don't know.
I've been obsessed with the Ultimate Warrior. It's actually, like, that's why Conrad and I both laughed when you mentioned him, because on the last episode of the Podquisition podcast we do, I was talking about the Ultimate Warrior for, like, 15 minutes, because I've recently become obsessed with him. Now, let's get the important thing out of the way first. It's the old H.P. Lovecraft clause. Ultimate Warrior was a horrific homophobe, terrible individual.
I didn't know.
However, as a creature, he's fascinating. Destrucity is his philosophy that he believed in, and then, like, a whole sort of way of life that he lived by. It was his warrior lifestyle. Of course, legally changed his name to Warrior so that Vince McMahon couldn't have it, and everyone says, oh, Ultimate Warrior, he changed his name to Warrior. Isn't he mad? Like, you know what? That's fucking savvy when you're dealing with a man like McMahon. But Destrucity, that's the truce between destiny, Jonathan, and reality. That's Destrucity, pal. Honestly, I think it's something you really should, like,
yeah, I was going to ask, did he pick up steam in any sort of Scientology-esque way with the Destrucity? Did he find some followers and some cash?
I found one.
You found a Destrucitor?
I found one, at least. I found a woman, because I needed to look up how to spell it.
Right.
And I found that there is a woman who wrote a whole book about the philosophical teachings of the Ultimate Warrior.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's at least one.
Yeah.
And he made this up. It's not like he found this texts.
The Ultimate Warrior is out, or was, out of his fucking mind. I have been watching so many Ultimate Warrior promos, and I don't know how they were aired on television, because they don't make sense. And there's one where he encourages Hulk Hogan to perform a terrorist attack. I'm not kidding.
Was he working with Hogan at that time? Or they?
Yeah, he was feuding with him. I think it was for, like, leading up to their big WrestleMania match or something. And he's like, oh, Hulk Hogan, I want you to break into the cockpit. The pilots have already made their sacrifice. Grab the lever and send that plane into a nosedive. Only the way I'm doing it is nowhere near as drawn out and sinister as the way he did it. It's on YouTube. I highly recommend people check it out.
Wow.
Just write Ultimate Warrior plane and just hear Ultimate Warrior. For some reason, try and activate Hulk Hogan. It's fucking amazing.
Wow.
But yes, the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. For those who haven't seen him. Like, teased out, sort of palm tree hair on the top, mullet.
Oh, yeah. Dry as anything. Arid.
Yeah. Sort of, like, Kiss-style makeup around the eyes, but also...
It's sort of like a, it's a bird's, like, some...
Yeah.
Like, it's an eagle, is what it is.
Oh, I wasn't aware.
Yeah, like, painted to be like an eye mask and sort of cover the nose, which is where the little tail is.
Right, but not like covering his eyes, just around his eyes, like a Robin
around
mask,
like, yeah, Batman, pretty much Robin,
sort of, but also like Spawn, sort of that shape, and then colorful neon wristbands and armbands, like
like big tassels, basically big tassels. Neon tassels that were on his arms, super tight to restrict blood flow so that his arms looked disgusting.
Yeah, tight veiny.
Yeah, like they look fucking skin. Gross.
Yeah, gross. I didn't realize
they look like how I imagine Krang would look if he was in real life. He's got Krang arms.
From the Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh god.
That's a hard voice to do. Who are you doing that?
I will look at you as you looked at me. It's a bit closer to Father Mother from Xenoclash, which is a pull that not many people will know.
My children, you were the only one that didn't love me. Yikes. Terrifying.
You go listen to an old Xenoclash trailer, right? You tell me I do not sound one-to-one like Father Mother.
I will absolutely look up an old Xenoclash trailer. Is that the early 2000s, mid-2010s?
Oh, like mid-2000s?
Yeah.
Late 2000s?
Feels right. 2008 or something.
We were all working at Destructoid.com when it came out, because I remember talking about how great the trailers looked.
Mm-hmm.
I may have reviewed it, actually, for the site. But
I should also look that up, see if I can find it.
Hell of a weird game, for those who are unaware of Xenoclash. Last year, a new Xenoclash game came out called Clash Artifacts of Chaos, which is a game I cannot speak highly enough of.
Wow.
It was one of my games of the year for last year. It's a beautiful game. It's rough around the edges a bit. It's got a bit of that Eurojank flavour, but it has... one of the most beautiful soundtracks I've ever heard. An amazing, like, art style. Solid combat and a fucking beautiful story.
What?
It's so good, I'm talking about games on Boston's Favorite Son.
Which, yeah, hasn't happened in years, if ever. And never on purpose.
Always, never on purpose.
Like, you're baiting.
Well, except for that one time I was going to do a bit where you were Big Boss and then you had to leave. So the one time we were going to talk about games, you fucked off.
Yeah, I have to leave all the time these days. It's no good.
Man, it's a shame.
I can't wait to have more time on my hands. It's the one thing I never have. I felt so guilty. I had to go to the bathroom and have a bowel movement before the show, and it made me late.
Mm.
But I had...
Hang on. Let's not flush the lead here. Let's walk this story back a little bit.
Okay. Bring it back inside. Yeah.
Retract. Back inside just before it came out. What was that like for you?
Stress. It's stress pooping. I was like, I gotta get to the show. Oh, gotta drink some coffee so I can, like, literally say some word. Oh, I forgot to make the coffee. Make the coffee. Get the coffee. Oh, wait, no, you don't want to have to go to the bathroom mid-show. Go to the bathroom. That'll be quick. Oh, no, it's one of those.
It's one of those bowel
movements that doesn't happen quickly. It takes its time, and you need to clean up afterwards, or else you're gonna smell like you've been pooping while you're just out and about. In the world.
Inside.
You don't want to smell like poop when you're just trying to be a person out in the world of people. It's a bad smell. I was going to say bad look, but they don't know until they smell you. And then they don't want you around because of your poop smell.
Exhibit consistent.
It's what?
Self-consciousness.
Are you taking like psychiatry notes?
To fecal produce. Right. Let's talk mechanics. Did you have to push very hard?
Oh, to poop? I can't remember. I think it wasn't like diarrhea. It wasn't like just a loose stool.
Regular type? Would you just say like an average?
Like a ratata?
Like yeah, we're talking like a...
normal type.
Like a 5-point D?
5-point D?
We'll round it up to 6.
There's a rounding up? There's a ranking and rounding for poop type?
Push grade 6. consistency, and how close to gray was it?
Oh, the color. I was in such a hurry to get going with the show, I almost forgot to look back and see if anything actually
came out. Right?
I quickly took a glance.
Oh, thank fuck.
I had already put toilet paper on top of the bowel movement. Not trying to place it there.
Just sort of covering it up.
Yeah, not
intentionally.
Princess
Di.
No, I just had to wipe my bottom and then get the pan. Yeah, I did. I'm a wiper. I'm a chronic, habitual wiper.
Tell us about that.
Not as quick as I would have liked. No. I'm always hoping to get everything on 2 or 3 swipes of the wipe.
2 or 3 swipes.
But yeah, no, this was a 7 or 8. Wipe ordeal in order to make sure everything was clean as a whistle.
You say seven or what were the numbers?
Eight wipes, I'm guessing. I'm a cheapskate with the toilet paper, so I generally pull out 3 plies and then fold plies so they have the strength to withstand.
Because they're normally quite thin. Has it ever been like such cheap toilet paper that while you were wiping, Jonathan, your finger went through it and it went into the prime directive.
Oh, you mean like did I accidentally finger my own butthole?
Did you ever Stephanie yourself?
they call it Stephanieing yourself?
We're working on it.
Yeah, we're trying to make it a thing.
You're workshopping. Yeah, how to get it out there. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to be the friendly face of anal sex.
Including anal masturbation, like finger.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's one of the
If it's up
ones.
There, I'm out there. That's my approach to representation.
I was just thinking about how anal sex is happening. I'm driving what,
right
the
now?
Car.
God, well, you've been maintaining your composure.
No, I was driving the car for some reason. I was like, wow, I had forgotten, but anal sex is still happening. People are still doing it. Do you remember maybe like 15 years ago, maybe less, it all of a sudden became fashionable to say, like, I eat ass. There's t-shirts.
Oh, yeah, eating
like,
ass was a big thing for a while. I remember that.
So
yeah.
Wanting to declare it. People are standing on top of the rooftops and mountaintops singing, I eat ass. And then it just kind of disappeared. Like 3 years later, either people don't talk about it or they don't do it anymore. But that whole time, anal sex, like it kind of got usurped by ass anal lingus, I think it's called, the ass eating. And then ass eating went away. But anal sex, people don't yell about that as much. They don't get on the rooftops in the same
way.
They
really don't. And I feel like I was a bit late to the party on that, to be honest.
On anal sex.
Yeah, because fun fact about... hilariously fun, entertaining fact about me, right?
Yeah.
Is I'd never gotten pegged until last year.
Oh, wow. The last year.
Hurt too much.
Oh.
Always hurt.
Yeah.
When I was younger and sort of Stephanieing myself, like... No worries, but over time, yeah, just too uncomfortable. But something fucking fixed up last year.
Wow. And it got more comfortable, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, but I feel like I've missed out. Like, because, you know, I remember everyone talking about, oh, yeah, and I was like, it's great, it's great. And it's like, well, I, you know, I would have maybe found that quite validating or something. And it's just, I always felt a bit incomplete.
Oh.
And then finally, and now it's not fashionable. I don't know what it is they do these days. Like, just fucking come in their hands and fling it at each other. I don't know what the fashion is, but we should bring it back. We need to bring anal sex back.
We need to bring anal sex back.
Bring it back to the back.
You tried to explain to me the joys of anal sex like over a decade ago, I think. You were like, the prostate gets activated.
I was having like, to work from experience, Stephanieing myself.
Right.
And then,
right.
As I said, even then, like, once I was basically into, like, adulthood, essentially, it was a no-go area.
Right, wow.
Which was a real shame.
Real bummer, yeah. Huh?
A real... But it wasn't. Oh, dear.
But great, that's all fixed now. You know, I'm a better late than never person. The past, of course, we can imagine how we wish it could have gone. We only have the present and hopefully some future to look forward to. And going forward, Stephanie, you're going to have a really robust sexual life experience. There's really nothing holding you back now.
I pick up what you're putting down.
Yeah?
Yeah. A show called Johnny Come Lately. Which is mostly you fucking me up the ass saying, oh, that's good. Everyone should do this. And then it'll get fashionable again, and then I'll be part of the zeitgeist.
That's how you get the fashion going. You get that 47-year-old not in his prime, you know, sleep-deprived, haggard, troubling, troubled. You know, the troubling-troubled combo. I'm both doing bad and make people feel bad by showing up and doing whatever I do. You want that to be the sex man? I don't... Get some hotties.
Reinvent yourself.
I can't be a hottie. I can't... My body's not hot. It's bad.
Jonathan, help me bring anal back.
Get yourself a Floribama Shore guy from the new MTV.
What do you think I constantly try to do? It's not worked out. Get back there.
No, I'm talking about the Floribama Shore.
Grindr was a waste of a download. Fuck me up the arse now.
Get yourself John Stamos. Get yourself Mark Summers from Nickelodeon's Double Dare. Just say a double
I can't
dare
even yet. Get a 5-minute wank in a public toilet from someone who I could stand to be near for 3 minutes, Jonathan.
That doesn't
I'm not going
to
get John fucking Stamos.
Sure. He's working. He's a working man.
The problem. He's working. If he wasn't working, there's a shot that we might be able to get
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely.
Right. If he needed the work, you're saying. I don't know. He just wrote an autobiography. That's usually not a good sign that they had enough time to do that. He may need the work.
I mean, there's someone who isn't working at the moment who might be up for it, but I don't want to do the things that Vince McMahon wants to do.
That would... If Vince was involved, he would only enjoy it if you didn't. Like, he's a
real
sadist.
Yes, pretty much. He's a complete sexual trafficking monster.
Yeah, he's a real gross, terrible... How did he... It's so sad, isn't it? I want a success story. I want to hear about somebody who wins and makes those millions or billions.
Well, that story wasn't so great either. Like,
yeah.
Which one?
The one about him making the millions.
Oh, no, I'm saying...
If you're looking for a wholesome story about someone who becomes a billionaire, you haven't been paying attention.
I want it, though. I want there to be the wholesome
billionaire. There's nothing wrong with wanting it.
Yeah, thank you.
But I think as has been said before, I'm not sure if it's an exact attributed quote or just a saying, but there's no such thing as a good billionaire because as soon as they became billionaires... Good people would give that money away.
Yeah, I've said that for a long time.
Like, yeah, there's no such thing as a good billionaire because they wouldn't stay a billionaire.
Yeah, they wouldn't hold on to that billion.
I'd feel so evil to have that much money that you could, like, save a nation and you don't.
Yeah, that's right.
The fuck?
Yeah, it's right.
Jonathan.
You could even, like, have any conception of poverty existing and not feel an obligation to do something to address it.
Yeah. And I think that is what all those people having anal sex a couple of years ago didn't stop to consider. What about the have-nots?
Right?
Yeah.
I do not have anything in my ass. What about me?
A national tragedy.
Yeah, I can't disagree. Oh, no.
If I can think about this, it makes me feel so empty inside.
Oh, really? What? I respond that way. That's not the normal response. That's not how normal people feel so empty. It's like, oh, really?
Yeah, I did not know.
Golly.
I was like thrilled. I was like, I said earlier I can anticipate his every move, but this was new.
No, I'm telling you, the sleep deprivation, it's really, it scrambled my whole character arc. Like, I don't have any sort of predictability anymore.
That's amazing.
Yeah, good pros and cons. You know, it's like a randomizer and playing an old video game. You think you know where you're going to fight the big dragon or something in Legend of Zelda, and now suddenly it's just like me going, oh, really?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
If you'd have done that sooner, I'd have worked out exactly how tired you are, and then we really could have played with you. So... Next time,
I promise I will be
stay awake for 24 hours.
I do that now. Did you know that? I do that.
I didn't know you do that.
Yeah, it's really... It's
bloody husband does that all the time.
Really? Oh, jeez.
They're always... They've been doing costume work for another creator. And, yeah, they've been up. Like, I'll go to bed. And I will wake up in the morning and come down. They haven't moved.
Yeah.
They've just been the same spot on the floor, like sewing something or...
Oh, man.
Like, doing leather work and stuff. It's super awesome. I'm super proud of them, but they don't sleep.
Yeah, it's not good for your health long term. So I've got, like, 11 more months I'll be able to do this job, apparently, before I'll just, like, begin to die. So I'm told,
right.
So I'm just, you know, doing the countdown. 44 weeks done, 48 to go. I'll survive it and then figure something else out. But
yeah.
But yeah.
If not, it's nice to have a time frame, a literal deadline.
Right.
Yeah, I've given it to myself.
You know
yeah.
what you're working to.
Right. That's mm-hmm. right. You can get mm-hmm. through anything for some period of time.
That is what they say.
They're wrong, actually. There are some things you just should not.
No,
withstand because they're awful, but this one I could do.
You managed that.
Yeah. So I have to go pick up a kid. I ran out of time. I had an hour. The hour happened.
It's
I'm like
gone.
This now, and I'm just grateful to still be around. To still here.
I'm grateful that you're still here, Jonathan.
No, thanks.
You're a lovely man.
Oh, thanks.
And I mean that most sincerely.
You wouldn't say
I it. Like. I like how the older we've gotten as well, the more sentimental we've gotten.
We're really sweet on each other, yeah.
Like, I think back to some of the early things where we're just like, fuck you! Like, just yelling, fuck off. And then we just end the show. I'm going, like, even before Boston's Favorite Son and all that. But the amount of times towards the end of these shows now, we're just, I love you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're still alive.
Yeah, that's how we feel about each other. It's nice. Consistency and true concern for each other. Over time, it really builds into a family relationship. It's a wonderful thing.
It is. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right, fuck off.